This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi hamdash shakirin. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen, sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma allimna ma jahinna min al-Qur'an al-azim wa dhakirna minhu ma nussina. We're just going to give a couple of minutes for other people to join in, inshallah. Just make sure that everybody is able to be a part of this broadcast. So wherever you're watching from, inshallah, do give us your salam. Let us know where you're tuning in from, inshallah. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it a source of blessing and guidance for us all. Allahumma ameen. And for those of you who are watching on my social media, on my Facebook page, on my YouTube page, on my Twitter page, if you want the full experience, I do recommend you go to yahyaibrahim.com/live. And there you'll be able to access the PDF that we're kind of going through in our discussions, inshallah. So if you are able, do transfer yourselves over to yahyaibrahim.com/live. I believe that that will be something that will be of great benefit for you, inshallah. And for those of you who are on my website, some of the tools that are existing there, of course, you have the PDF on the right, you have the Q&A button, and you have the group chat button that you can kind of engage with each other, inshallah. So let me know where you're watching from. I am interested to kind of see how everybody's doing, where everybody's tuning in from. We have some of our brothers from Nigeria, from the Emirates, mashallah. We have from Bangladesh, a few brothers and sisters saying, Assalamu alaikum. It's good to see, mashallah, tabarak al-Rahman. So we'll just give people another couple of minutes. Do share it out to some of your friends and family, inshallah. We're going to be continuing with the fifth part of our soul-searching series. And alhamdulillah, on my website, there's a number of people, a number of ISOCs, which are Muslim Student Associations of various universities in and around the United Kingdom. I'm very thankful for FOSIS and the coordination of Green Lane Masjid to make this a reality, alhamdulillah. We got people tuning in from Malaysia, Ethiopia, mashallah, tabarak al-Rahman, South Florida, Sister Fazia, mashallah. And it's a wonderful, mashallah, to see people from all around the world coming together for this initiative. So just another minute, inshallah, for people to share this with some of their friends and family before we get straight in. And one more time, I'll just say that if you do want the full experience, come on to my website, inshallah, yahyaibrahim.com/live, and you'll be able to access the PDF and use the ecosystem that we have with the Q&As and all of that, inshallah. All right, mashallah. Okay, let's begin formally. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamda lillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abdullahi wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim taslima katheera. اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا وقلبا خاشعا وبدنا على البلاء صابرا اللهم ذكرنا من القرآن ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا يا أرحم الراحمين. We always begin by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to make us from those who are fortunate, from those who are followers in the footsteps of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah increases our taqwa, our consciousness and obedience to Him, that we favor the path of the Prophet ﷺ more than we favor any other paths or any other ways, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you and I from those who are foremost in seeking to put the faith into practice and be examples of and beacons of light for others. Allahumma ameen. This is the fifth installment of Soul Searching. The concept of this 10-part series is to become acquainted with who we are as human beings, what we want out of life, and what it is that we have to look forward to in the coming days, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in our worldly existence, but more importantly, in what we seek from Allah in our future. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases you and I of in taqwa and in self-introspection, that we are very inward in our relationship with Allah, and that we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us a piety, blesses us with this piety and consciousness of Him in our privacy, more so than what we seek to show each other dramatically and portrayed in our public life. Allahumma ameen. The fifth session is about ilm. Subhanallah, that word ilm. Even the sound of it, it's got a regal sound, knowledge. And in any language of the world, the concept that relates to knowing, learned, to becoming aware, to being one who transitions from an inferiority to a superiority on account of an acquaintance and on account of an aspect that has set you apart from others. And Allah tells us about this in the Quran, where He says, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above everyone who is knowledgeable, there is one who has gained a step above, one who has more knowledge than that, and one who goes further than that. And the more you and I kind of put effort, put interest in seeking knowledge, in acquiring knowledge, and we will define knowledge in a sense, inshallah, the more we become taking pathways and steps towards an eternal happiness and an eternal place in Jannah. The more you and I set our path in life, seeking the pleasure of Allah through learning, through wisdom, the acquisition of knowledge that is benefiting to us in our conditions of day-to-day life and the decisions that we make, because we have a surety of knowledge, as Allah says in the Quran, عَلَى بَصِيرًا, upon a brightened, insightful way of life. You and I, our aim as Muslims is to be those who step in the dark with a light that shines. That even though darkness surrounds us, there's a light within us that leads us to a path that we would not know had we not been led upon it by the methodology and the revelation given to us through the tradition and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So the fundamental purpose of knowledge, the fundamental purpose of ilm, is that it is to lead within us a quest to become closer to Allah. The acquaintance that you and I seek to have of anything that we study in life is that its intent between our heart and our judgment is that this is something that's going to solidify my relationship and my nearness, my qurba, my drawing closer to my maker, the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tells us that when He brought us into this world, لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْءٍ, you knew nothing. Meaning you came into this world as a blank slate. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala شَقَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ, that Allah is the one who opened for us our hearing, allowed us the insight of our sight. And that it is from there that we begin to develop sensory elements that relate to knowledge. And therefore the fundamental immediate elements of knowledge that are accessible to all human beings who have been given a level plane is that we've been given these senses that surround us. We are able to hear and see and smell and taste and touch. These five senses are really the first acquaintances we have into the physical world that we are in. But as much as we are able to use these five senses, they are limited to the capacity that our brain is able to access information through it. And once they become overwhelmed, once the color is too much, once the light is too much, or once it becomes too dark, then that sensory organ of your eyes fails you. Once the noise is too loud or too soft, and it's beyond the spectrum that your hearing can attain, it fails you. Once your touch is without the means or at a distance from something, it fails you to smell and to hear and to see. So there needs to become a further acquaintance of what it is that we can gather knowledge from. And therefore that concept of al-aql, of rationale that we spoke of in our early sessions, where we put our physical being and we add to it a rationale, a system of reasoning and an insightful mind that then ascends into the third and final category that you and I have as human beings, which is the soul. Knowledge needs to impact each of these three places. So there is a place for knowledge that is extracted from the five senses, but there is a knowledge that transcends that, that it is an intellectual, rational, reasoning capacity that my touch, my smell, my sight, my physical means cannot acquaint me with. There is an exercise that goes beyond that. And we can be conceptual as human beings and theoretical, even though we are unable to be physical and tangible and practical for that which we are studying. And therefore, human beings are able to describe that which is of a distance from them, that which they have not experienced, because Allah tells us as a part of the specialities of His creation of mankind, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, I taught mankind the ability to describe for himself the nomenclature, the names of all things, and transfer that knowledge to others. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا, Allah gave Adam the knowledge of the names of all things, the ability to describe things, which is the very basis of that rational intellectual thought that you can deliberate, you can make a variable that X can represent something unknown in a mathematical operation. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ, the ability to describe and the ability to rationalize in that description. The awakening, of course, is that when you recognize that these two sensories, the physical and the one that is beyond, the intellectual and the rational, that there is something beyond that. And there becomes this awakening, this spark that is within the heart, within the soul. Well, you recognize, no, there's something that is even beyond that, which is in the realm of the unseen. That as much as I put my rational mind into it, as much as I theorize, as much as I try to make practical experimental analysis, there is something that is beyond what is within the theory and the mindset that we have developed that goes beyond that into the realm of al-ghayb, the unseen. And the only way to receive knowledge about that is from the place of the unseen, by the creator of the unseen, and the one who sent mankind, the messengers, to lead them and navigate them through the perils of the unseen world that we need to become also acquainted with. And therefore, from the very beginning, Allah tells us in the Quran, in the first few verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, the earliest second chapter of the Quran, Allah says, Alif Lam Mim, Thalikal Kitabu La Rayba Fihi, Hudan Lil Muttaqeen, Alladhina Yu'minuna Bil Ghayb. In this book is the guidance that you seek. It is a guidance for those who have faith. They are those who believe in the unseen, willing to go beyond what their mind can comprehend and what their body is able to experience. That awakening allows you to understand that I exist, and because I exist, there is one who has put me to existence. I know that I did not make myself. I know that this place, this world, this existence, this cosmos is not from its own doing. I can understand that the existence of the world is a sign that there is one who is beyond the world. And that if I am able to consciously think, and I was of one who had no consciousness previously, that my very existence lets me know that there will be an existence after. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very simple in Surah Yasin and other chapters in the Quran, where people would question the Prophet ﷺ, and they would ask from an uninformed perspective, how can we be brought back to life after our death? مَنْ يُحْيِيهَا, who will give this life? قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. The simplest, most logical understanding is that the one who gave life from nothingness can surely return life from an existing life. If you can understand, if you can see yourself alive today, and you recognize that you were a nothingness in the day before, how can you doubt that out of the life you have, there could be another emergence of life, when previously where there was no life, you refer to the Big Bang, there was nothingness, there is life. So how can you deny that from life there can be more life? It does not make sense. Al-Ghayb is known to Allah. قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. None has knowledge of the unseen other than Allah. And that which is given to the Prophet ﷺ is just the sections that Allah has allowed him to be informed about. And therefore we come to recognize then that there is a knowledge that is existential, that is beyond the human experience, beyond the human capacity, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laysa kamithlihi shay. He is beyond what anything that is conjured up in the imagination, anything that can be thought, anything that can be understood or seen or heard or witnessed, he is different to it. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And he is the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as a consequence of this, the creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who has veiled himself from his creation through his supremacy. And by being ba'inun min khalqih, that he is not a part of his creation. He is distinct from his creation, and his creation cannot be of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is the source of all of the creation. Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all realms, of all cosmos, of all universes, of all that has been created, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that knowledge, therefore, that I am ignorant of that which I cannot and am not able to witness because it is from the realm of the unseen. It is before the seen. It is before time. It is before what we refer to as the existence of that which is common and known to us as human beings. Therefore, that knowledge lets me know that I am not here sudan wa hamala for no reason, for jest and volley. Rather, that the knowledge that I come now to understand is that knowledge has a purpose, that I have a place, that there is a reason for me to be a part and parcel of this world that I have been entered into. And the knowledge that I have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes one that allows me to humble myself to the maker and the creator and the sustainer of all. The knowledge of my purpose becomes a very important aspect that you and I as Muslims seek to establish. Why am I here? What is the purpose of my creation? Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us simply in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that the totality of my creation, of mankind, of the jinn, of all of the creations, is that they are to show me that they accept me as the absolute authority in their life, to be in the worship of me alone, and to reject all that is other than me, or all that is called to by other than me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy and wisdom has spared us the pain of an irrational speculation in searching for a purpose. He lets you know the purpose. He lets you know that there is a reason why you are here, and there is something that is a higher calling than what you would give yourself had you known that, had you not known of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah centers your attention that everything that you do in life is in one way or another a submission and a form of servitude to Him. And it is of only two types of service that people can establish. Every human being, every one of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bound in submission to something. It is very few of us, may Allah make us of them, who choose to make Allah their master. There are many who have been bound down as servants to wealth, to beauty, to seeking the hunt and the thrill of amassing more. There are those who have become their master, their ilah, that which they worship is their own desires, the fulfillment of their own sexual needs or their financial gains. All of these are different things that can subdue an individual. But it is the one who chooses to submit themselves to Allah with a totality that finds and attains the freedom and the liberty. Ilm, therefore, is an important aspect for us. When we speak about knowledge, we're not speaking just simply about 2 plus 2 is 4, or that this is how you recite an ayah with tajweed, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unique in and of Himself and tawheed alone. We are speaking of a knowledge of an acquaintance of who we are to Allah and what Allah seeks of us and how we are able to perform it, how we are able to live a life of ubudiyyah to Allah. And I want to highlight that word. Al-ubudiyyah is to attain the purpose of life, is that you live a life that is worship-filled, that everything aspect of your life in one way or another is a sign of your submission to Allah, is a sign of you giving preference to Allah, giving preference to your maker, the Almighty. The concept of ubudiyyah for us as Muslims is very simple. Al-ubudiyyah kamalul hubbi wa dhul. It is to achieve a completion of love, but also humility to the one you love. It is al-ubudiyyah. It is that you establish كل ما يحبه الله من قول أو فعل أو تصديق بقلب. It is that you seek your life to be fulfilled by you doing everything that Allah loves for you to feel in your heart, to intend in your heart, to say with your tongue, or to practice with your limbs. So, going out to work so that I earn a halal income that I can feed my family with it is an act of worship. Smiling in the face of somebody who is downtrodden is an act of worship. Forgiving somebody who has wronged me is an act of worship. Spending and buying a gift for my children is an act of worship. If I have made that as an intent of being something that draws me closer to Allah, anything Allah loves is an act of worship. So the question therefore is, well, how do I know what Allah loves? So He sent us those who would acquaint us with what Allah loves. Inna Allaha yuhib, Allah loves this. Somebody told us that. Somebody shared that information with us. Somebody who was informed by Allah gave us the manual of how to show Allah that we are His servants. And therefore, any act of worship meets those two conditions. It is for Allah, and it is in accordance to the tradition, the modality, the pathway, the way of life of the Prophet and the Prophets of God, alayhim afdal as-salatu wa atamu at-taslim, wa ala nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Now that's a powerful, powerful way of looking at the world. So let us look, inshallah, at the first distinction, that we recognize the first element of knowledge is that we are aware that there is a being, a supreme being beyond us, who has power over us, as He is the creator, the originator, and He is the one who is the Lord of Ar-Rububiyyah, the one who is the Lord, who is deserving our Lord to be considered our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only one who we provide our tawheed of singling Him out as being worthy of that status, that nobody is feared, nobody is loved, nobody is hoped in more completely or in any way beyond what is given to Allah. And Allah warns us, يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. There are those who love other things, love material, love other individuals, love other beings, love other concepts or isms or political stances in a way that only Allah should be devoted. Only Allah should have this devotion towards Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second, of course, is that if you do recognize that Allah is the only Lord, is the only Maker, is the only Sustainer, then I should turn my attention only to Him in devotion and worship. So I become abd and enslave myself to attain freedom and liberty and the power of God working through me by making myself in submission to Allah. And that's the essence of the word Islam. It is to surrender my will to God, to make Allah the one who decides the right and wrong choices that I make in life is through the vision and that which was revealed by Allah. That I decide what I wear because of the lenses God, Allah Almighty, has given me to adorn myself and to see the world through. What I wear, what I eat, who I friend, who I marry, who I don't, where I come, where I go, what I work, what I don't, what I buy, what I sell, how I do all these things is through the lens of faithfulness towards Allah. And that is an object of my worship, an aspect of my tawheed, of uluhiyyah, of submitting myself in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I become acquainted with Allah, to fall deeper in love with Him, to become a knowing of what are the conditions that I have with Him, through his names and attributes, through what he has described himself with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given himself the names and descriptions so that you and I are under no circumstances ignorant of who he is subhanahu wa ta'ala. The consequence of ignorance of these three things, of course, that Allah is my Lord, that he is the one that I turn to, that I don't become acquainted with Allah. The consequence of that, of course, is misery. That I live a life where I'm always seeking favor or advantage in something that will eventually let me down. That I'm seeking love in all the wrong places. That I'm seeking happiness in the material rather than in the spiritual. That I have let myself head into a pathway where the laws of truth are not adhered to, that eventually it becomes a source of harm and pain. And the consequence of ignorance of my maker, of my creator, of my duty to him, is that you live a life that is bumped from one side to the other. You can never really attain that harmony and that sakina and that tranquility that Allah promises. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Surely it is only through the remembrance of Allah that the hearts can find peace, ease, and comfort. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who find a heart that is serene through the knowledge and the acquaintance of Allah. Knowledge makes us sensitive to the nature of the world that we're in. We begin to understand its pain, its turbulence, its uncertainty. We understand even greater the consequences of not knowing, and not being familiar with Allah becomes even more worrisome for us. That the hearts begin to awaken to a reality that this world is not terminal, but there is something that waits for us beyond it. That you and I are not promised to just become earth. Allah says, "Minha khalaqnahum, khalaqnakum." From the earth you were created, from these elements you and I, we have our irons and hydrogens and oxygens within us. وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ. Yes, your bodies will be returned into that same dust. You will become those nutrients into the ground again. وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. You and I will be brought back and resurrected and questioned. That is from the unseen. That is a knowledge that needs to be discussed. And as a conscious effort, for you and I, we are to put in our hearts the unending knowledge that we will always be brought forth before Allah. وَأَنَّ مَرَدَّكُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. مَرَدَّنَا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Our return is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we begin to ponder over the speed at which the day of judgment can come upon us, that it is just as simple as a shoelace away, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes. The moment you pass away, it's the length of your shoelace from you that you find yourself standing before the majesty of Allah azza wa jal. So where do we find knowledge, and how do we make sure that the knowledge is beneficial? We find knowledge through all of the sensory means, through our logical determinations, but always guided through revelation. And we have a principle in Islam that says, يُقَدَّمُ الْنَقْلُ عَلَى الْعَقْلِ. That which is revealed is to be adhered to, even if my logical in understanding of it has not yet caught up to its wisdom. That whenever Allah has said, أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ, obey God and obey the messenger, there is no point in that discussion that gives me room to say, except here, or in these things, yes, but not in this. I'm willing to pray and fast, but I'm not going to do this and this and this. My heart loves this person. It doesn't matter if they're Muslim or not Muslim. I'm just going to give my life away in that sense. This concept of fidelity, it's not for me. Those kind of things are things that we back away from. We understand that the knowledge of acquaintance is not just simply book knowledge, but it's practice. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahmatullahi alayhi, was asked, من هم العلماء? Who are the learned? Who are the learned amongst the scholars? He said, من عمل بما يعلم? It's the one who enacts and puts into practice the knowledge that they have. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, he would say, ليس العلم ما حفظ, إنما العلم ما نفع. Knowledge is not that which you retain in your memory. You memorize a lot of texts and a lot of things. You know all these formulas and all these statements and all this Quran and hadith or whatever. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ مَا نَفَعْ. Knowledge is that which is beneficial. The Prophet ﷺ used to make the famous dua, اللَّهُمَّ ارْزُقْنَا عِلْمًا نَافِعًا. Oh Allah, bless us all with a knowledge that is beneficial, meaning that we put into practice that shows that we have taken that knowledge as something that is not just something theoretical, but has become material in our day-to-day life and into our existence. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you and I with a knowledge that is practiced and an insight into the truth. There is no greater knowledge than the words of God. There is no greater truth than that which was spoken by Allah. No one will tell you about Allah more and better than Allah. And no one will teach you the way to please Allah in a way that is better than the practice and the sunnah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. This is where I'm going to bring to an end my discussion with you. I always like to keep it at, you know, 20 to 30 minutes, inshallah. And if there are any questions, I'm just going to search through the questions now. I will try to address them and take them bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His angels upon us and makes us from those who are successful and benefiting from the knowledge that we gain, that we can continue, inshallah, in a path of spirit of truth and favor in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala sayyidina wa habibina wa nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.